Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Acharya, Shota, Shri Srimad, Abhay Charanada, Vinda Bhaktivedanta, Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Prabhupada, Acharya, Shota, Shri Srimad, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Goswami Maharaj.
January 29th, 2012, Bhakti Center, Santa Clara, California. Sri Advaita Acharya's appearance day.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Nasham Kun Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Sri Mayapur Namadip Dham Ki. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki. Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi Ki. Sambhaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki. All glories assemble the devotees. All glories assemble the devotees. All glories assemble the devotees. Bhakti Center Ki. Go Premanande. Om Jnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuga Paramamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya, Shri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam, Taham Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Sadvadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Pajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and all the great acharyas. I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji, the Panchatattva Lord Nrsingadev, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan, Tulsi Devi, and to all the assembled Vaishnavas here at the Bhakti Center. And I especially thank His Grace Shri Govinda Datto Prabhu, who came here to America with a singular mission in his mind, which was to expand the army, the Bhakti army. This could be called the Bhakti army barracks also. And he wanted to extend, train devotees in the very specific science of bhakti as it's been passed down through disciplic succession from Panchatattva through the great acharyas all the way down through Srila Prabhupada and his successors today as it's being carried on. And this is a momentous occasion for me being here and for Nirkula, my wife, to come to this Bhakti Center where the devotees are living according to the tenets given by the great acharyas. Tat karma pravartana. There are many activities to perform in a day which makes the day successful. And there are many ways, just as many ways, to while away one's time in
frivolously waste a day. In fact, that's easier, because the mind and the senses are accustomed to going their own way and having their own way. But through the process of yoga, we bring the senses under control. The process of bhakti yoga just happens to be a world of juice. Going around Govardhan Hill, every day we walk around, and while we're walking, there are several people that make a living by selling sugarcane juice. And while we're walking around the Govardhan Hill, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And when we walk past these sugarcane juice vendors, they say to us, juice, juice? And we say, juice, juice, showing our beads that we're chanting. But everyone's squeezing something to try to get some juice. And the real juice comes from Krishna. He's the source of all rasa. That's what everyone's looking for. They want that emotion. In cricket, when someone makes a six, is that what you call it? When you make a six or you hit a six?
Hit a six.
When you hit a six, no one measures exactly the velocity or the speed or the way how it went over the fence. They just know it feels good, and the crowd goes wild. Or if it's in the World Cup game against Pakistan, and that last goal goes through the net, and no one takes time to measure and see, you know, how fast did the ball go and how did it connect with his foot and what affected the shoelaces have, they just go crazy and they experience what it feels like to be victorious. That feeling, that's the rasa, that's the juice, that's what everyone's looking for. They want some juice. And there appears to be juice in the material world, but it's compared by Prahlad Maharaj to trying to get juice from the husks of grain that have already been, where the grain's already been taken out. There's no more fruit, there's no more juice, it's just empty dry. It looks like there should be something inside, but there's not. And this is the attempt to find juice in the material world. But here at Bhakti Center, you've got the real process for getting juice. And those who have juice can give juice. You can't be a juice vendor if you don't have real juice. So we're becoming juice vendors. And in the Mangalarti time, in the Brahma Muhurta hour, 1 hour and 42 minutes before the sun rises, there's juice to be had. Not many people know it, but it's floating freely in the atmosphere. It comes down like rain comes for free. We don't ask for it, but it comes down out of the sky. We're able to collect it up. It comes down in rivers and waters the crops for free, apparently. And similarly, at that time of the day, 1 hour and 42 minutes before the sun actually makes its appearance, there's juice coming through the environment, and you just have to sit there and catch it. That's intelligence, to know when to catch things, how to get the juice. The acharyas, they're not telling something that is fruitless or juiceless. They know where the juice is, and they're telling right where to get it. And that's what the Bhakti Center is. It's a big juice box. And inside, everyone's learning how to get the real juice, and that comes. When that comes, even in a small, you get a little even drop of that, then you have enough to inundate the whole city, because it's so rare. And someone who has a little bit of juice, you can see it in their eyes. You can see it the way they choose their activities during the day. They make different choices than people who aren't getting juice. So today's the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. When we talked about the other day, Ryan, the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Varadhar, Shivasana, Golabhanta, Vrinda. Sri Advaita Acharya is an Anga, a part of Mahavishnu, who creates this world. Yakaranarna vajale vajati sma yoga nidramananta jagarandas romakupya. Adhara Shaktim Abalambya Param Samurtim Govindamari Purushanta Mahambhajami. This great Mahavishnu is creating this world. Mahavishnu breathes out. See, this is the amazing thing. From Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna expands himself. He's the Adipurusha. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Everything comes from a person, from the perfect, complete person. And Goloka, in Gokula especially, he looks like an ordinary person. He's performing his lila there, and he's the most beautiful person, but he has two hands, two beautiful eyes, and lotus feet. But from him, everything emanates. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. One who knows this and understands that everything's coming from Krishna, the original person, they give all their attention. That becomes their preoccupation, worshipping Krishna. Why would you go anywhere else? Why would you do anything else when you understand where everything's coming from? And Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita how he's Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of everyone, best friend of every living entity. And he's there also within the heart. He follows living entity and wherever he goes, because he's such a good friend. So everything comes from Krishna, the Adi Purusha, and he expands himself into Balaram. And Balaram into Sankarshan, into the Chaturvyuha, and then there's a Mahasankarshan, and then there's another second Chaturvyuha, and then there are the great Purushas, the Mahavishnu, then the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then the Kirdakshaya Vishnu. These are different expansions of the Lord. He expands himself. We say expands. Sometimes people think that means that he get bigger. Like, no, but like duplicates himself. Because as described in the Brahma Samhita, like a candle. Departure vahita shantanam abhyupeta dipayate vravita hetu samana dharma. Yes, tadrik eva hicha vishnu chaya vipati govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. There's an original candle, that's Krishna. Then that candle can light many other candles. And those candles, fire, the fire is the same potency. Fire is fire. So similarly, these expansions or duplications of Krishna, they have these powers just like Krishna has. But there's still one original candle from which all the other candles came. And that's Krishna, the Adi Purusha, Govinda. And in the course of expanding himself, I'm just going to use that phrase, and in the course of expanding himself into different incarnations, the Mahavishnu, and then the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu glances over the material energy, and by his glance, the living entities are impregnated into matter, and the whole show begins to come together in the material world. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters within the each individual universe, and there are described how many universes? That if you take a bucket and you fill it up with mustard seeds, you know how big a mustard seed is? Tiny, tiny, and if you fill it up, you couldn't count them all. Each one of those is a universe. And within each one of those universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lies down. He fills up the universe with his own perspiration and then lies on the ocean there in that universe. Then from him comes Kshirdakshaya Vishnu. Kshirdakshaya Vishnu enters within the heart of every living entity. He also maintains his own island called Shvetadvip, just like a very wealthy person, multi-billionaire. He doesn't live in the suburbs, he gets his own island. So Krishna has his own island too. It's a Vaikuntha planet, actually. Within the material universe, he has his own planet, which is transcendental. So Advaita Acharya is an Anga. Anga means, just like my arm is an Anga of my body, like a limb, means limb. And so it indicates intimacy. I'm very intimate with my arm. I like it very much. And it does what I say, usually. For the most part. For the Madanga, mostly it does what I say. I'm connected. We're connected. So similarly, Advaita Acharya is an Anga of Vishnu who appears in this world. And One great lesson to take from that we take from the teachings of Kaviraj Goswami and the Chaitanya Charitamrita describing about Advaita Acharya is his propensity for servitude, that he's a servant. He considers himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, but he comes to this world to play this role, to invite the Supreme Personality of Godhead to personally come into the world to save everyone. How does Advaita Acharya save everyone? First he comes and he begins speaking about bhakti. He speaks the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but all in terms of bhakti. Because you can interpret it many, many ways, the Bhagavad Gita, and many people do. They say, well, Krishna says that he's the Supreme Personality of God, but he doesn't really mean it, he meant something else. And say Kurukshetra battlefield, that doesn't really mean Kurukshetra. Prabhupada came and said, no, Kurukshetra means Kurukshetra. Krishna means Krishna. And the Advaita Acharya does the same thing. He comes and teaches the Bhagavad Gita as it is, about the bhakti, the purpose of life, to develop servitude toward Krishna, not to become Krishna, or not to think that we're going to merge into Krishna and become one with Krishna. And all types of other interpretations. When Krishna says, surrender unto me, he means surrender unto me, not to somebody else, or not to the unborn within Krishna. And so many other kinds of indirect, nonsensical interpretations. So in this way, he sits in his courtyard, Advaita Acharya does, and preaches the Bhagavad Gita, according to bhakti. What is the power of that? One person speaking something which is in accordance with the Shastra. The power is inestimable. You look at the results of such a thing, you may think, oh, it's an insignificant thing, what can I do? What can you do? If you actually represent Krishna by speaking what he speaks, by finding out what he said, and then just representing it, you become a messenger. A messenger is very powerful. First of all, you have to get the message. And actually, the message that comes from Krishna is the eternal, internal energy. There's no difference between Krishna and his message. And when Krishna gives you a message and says, this is what I want you to do, if you follow, all you have to do is just follow that message, and then you are connected to the spiritual world by the message itself. So Advaita Acharya was teaching the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in his courtyard, where people would come. And then he saw the degraded condition of the world, that people were concocting many kinds of worship and were absorbed in all types of materialism. And he thought, I can't do this alone. Therefore, he started praying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please come down and help me. If you come, then everybody can be saved. So he was reading in the Shastra one day, and he found a verse that said that if you offer Krishna Tulsi leaves and Ganges water, then he'll do anything for you. If you just offer him Tulsi leaves and Ganga water, then he becomes so pleased with you that he'll do whatever you want. So he said, I'm taking this verse. And he worshipped Shalagram Shila. Yesterday we had Shalagram Maharaj came with us over to the opening in Fremont Dam. And we had we greeted him and offered him some refreshments and a place to sit and everything. He sat there, Shalagram Maharaj. And so Advaita Acharya, he also worshipped Shalagram. Interesting point. You'll see a picture of that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Advaita Acharya worshipping Shalagram. And where did that picture of Shalagram come from? Well, that picture was made before any devotee in ISKCON knew what a Shalagram Shila looked like. Or even, they didn't even know what it was. Shalagram worship didn't come in to ISKCON till sometime after Prabhupada had left. There wasn't much Shalagram. Nobody knew much about Shalagram Shila. Although Prabhupada says in his books that we should introduce it in all our temples. So one of the devotees, artist named Parikshit, was painting a picture of Advaita Acharya calling out to Shalagram, and he had no idea what Shalagram Shila was. So he took his picture to Prabhupada and said, no, not like that. And Prabhupada personally drew the picture of Shalagram. So that picture you see in the painting, that was drawn by Shilpa. He did the sketch. Pritchard took it from there, but Prabhupada gave him the idea, you see. But Advaita Acharya would sit, do his puja, and he would cry out, loud cries, that were so loud, they pierced through the universe. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he said, Nara, he used to call Advaita Acharya Nara, he said, Nara, you woke me up. It was your loud cries that brought me here. You were calling out for me to come. So, he would offer Ganges water and Tulsi to Shalagram Srila. He would call out in loud cries, asking the Lord to please appear in this world to save the people, because they've become so degraded in Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came based on the desire of Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya ki
jai!
So Advaita Acharya also was a great servitor of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although in age apparently he was his senior. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would constantly render service to Advaita Acharya and treat him as a superior. And partly that was because Advaita Acharya was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Therefore, he, in etiquette and in mood, when there's a devotee who's initiated by your spiritual master, a grand spiritual master, by your grand spiritual master, then you offer all respects. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this, but Advaita Acharya didn't like it. He didn't want to be respected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, he had an idea how to show everyone in the world that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his superior. So he sat in his courtyard where daily he would speak the Bhagavad Gita. And uncharacteristically, he began to espouse the Yoga Vashishta, Advaita Vashishta philosophy, saying that actually we're not servants of Krishna, bhakti is not the goal, but we should become one with Krishna. Openly, he was saying this in the courtyard. People came in and listened. They said, what is the Acharya saying? And very seriously, he was pontificating and saying all these things. So some people ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, Advaita Acharya is preaching Yoga Vashishta right in the courtyard, openly. And Mahaprabhu became furious. He said, what is he doing? What does he think he's doing? And immediately he came charging to the house of Advaita Acharya and saw him sitting on his asan, preaching to the crowd that Yoga Vashishta is the highest. Merging into the impersonal existence of the Lord is the highest goal of life. And he was saying, you can only get to the highest position through Gyan, not through Bhakti, Gyan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became even more enraged when he saw it for himself. So he went up to the seat of Advaita Acharya and he said, what are you saying? He said, it isn't, say what's true. Is it Bhakti or Gyan? And Advaita Acharya said, Gyan! And Mahaprabhu grabbed him and he pulled him off his seat and he said, Gyan or Bhakti? He said, Gyan, Gyan! And then Mahaprabhu began to beat him. This is all Leela, of course. It's all play. Krishna's pastimes, although they appear to be human-like, as mentioned in the outset of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukha Goswami, they're not ordinary pastimes. Janma karma chame nibhyam evam yoviti tatvata. His pastimes are divine. But he enjoys himself. It's a Leela. It's like a play. Maya javani kachanam ajnat hoksa jamabhyayam nalakshashe mudadusha nato natya daroyata. Kunti says, just like when the curtain opens and the dancers come out and they have different costumes, you can't tell who is who, and they're playing in different ways. In the same way, she said, my lord, that there's a curtain of deluding energy, and when you appear in this world, no one can tell exactly what you're doing and how you're doing it, but it's for your own play. Because Krishna is the enjoyer. He has nothing else to do but enjoy, so he enjoys these pastimes. And in them, there are many lessons as well. And as Mahaprabhu was beating what was apparently an old man, Advaita Acharya, his wife, that is, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Thakurani, came running out and said, please, spare him, he's an old man. And then suddenly Mahaprabhu saw that Advaita Acharya was smiling as he was being beaten. And he realized what was going on, and everyone was watching. And then Advaita Acharya said, just see, now I have shown who is the real Lord and Master. I am your servant. And he declares, I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya, the servant of late Chaitanya, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and the servant of his servants. And this is where the juice is. This is the real mood. Even the great incarnations of the Lord, like Advaita Acharya, who come to this world, come to show that the real happiness in life is to become a servant. Everyone's got it reversed in the material world. Bayam dvitiya abhinibeshya tasya ishad apetasya. Apetasya means you got your head screwed on wrong. You got it all wrong. You think that by becoming the master, by getting more skills and becoming the top dog, that I'll become happy. But actually, it's not true. By becoming the servant of the Lord, then you actually become happy, developing the sentiment of servitude. Everyone is mad after it. In fact, Balaram, it comes from Balaram, was the first expansion of Krishna. He's mad after serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Balaram comes in Ram Lila as Lakshman. And Lakshman is a fervent servant of Lord Ramachandra, constantly looking for ways that he can serve him more and more. And all the incarnations of the Lord who expand from the original Purusha, they all find their greatest happiness, ecstatic, unlimited happiness, in this mood of servitude, to serve the Lord. And so Advaita Acharya comes to teach. He's non-different, that's why his name is Advaita. There's no difference between him and the Lord. But he comes in a particular mood. This is the great science of Krishna consciousness, that God is one. Of course he's one. There can be nothing in existence but God, but he has his own individual existence at the same time. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagadavyatamurtinam stani sarvabhutani nacham tesho vastitaha. Krishna, although he manifests himself in all his different energies in this world, still he has his own individual existence as the supreme enjoyer and supreme Purusha. And he enjoys many pastimes. And without variety, there's no question of enjoyment. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So Krishna, in order to enjoy himself, eko bahu shyam, means the Vedas say that God is one, but he expands himself into many for his own enjoyment. So there are many different energies of the Lord. And the living entities, the jivas, who are the individual souls, as we say, it's not that we have a soul, we are the soul, as Bertrand Russell once said, that we are servants of the Lord. And when we act in that capacity, then we become happy. Ishad apetasya vipari osmiti tan maya tad buddha abhijatam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. Therefore, Kavi Yogendra said, the cure to all our misery in life and to the fear that arises from trying to be the master and the top dog in this world is just change your direction of thinking and turn towards Krishna. Bhaktyaika yesham, with one-pointed attention, turn towards Krishna and become his servant. And that means bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. Through the guru, one can worship Krishna properly. And if you do this, then everything becomes rectified. So Krishna comes in different ways, comes as Advaita Acharya to rectify the misguided ways of those in the material world and give them the path for perfection in this life. And so we're following the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, who is a great preacher of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and who is a servitor of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this bhakti center is meant for training many devotees to know the Shastra and to have firm faith. This is the definition of the most advanced devotee. Shastra-yukte. Shastra-yukte means that a person who's advanced is connected to the Shastra, lives in the Shastra, and knows the Shastra. Shastra means scripture. And it is the guiding principle for everyone in this world. Shastra Yukte. He's firmly fixed also, and that means Dridha Shradhavan. Dridha means determinedly. And Shradhavan means somebody who has Shraddha, somebody who has faith. So somebody who's firmly fixed in faith and knows the Shastra, Uttama Adhikari, Tare Sangsar, means that such a person who knows Shastra and can quote Shastra and knows the logic behind presenting the science of God consciousness and has firm faith, such a person, Tare Sangsar, can deliver the world from birth and death, the whole world. Such a person was Advaitacharya, Uttama Adhikari. So we follow in his footsteps by learning all the things that are provided to us through this little succession, the Bhagavad Gita. Who doesn't want to know Bhagavad Gita? Only a fool doesn't want to know Bhagavad Gita. And only a fool doesn't know Bhagavad Gita. And anyone who knows Bhagavad Gita and understands Bhagavad Gita knows everything. Yomam eva masam mudo janati purushottamam sasarvabid bhajati mam sarvabhajina bharata. That a person who knows Krishna, and how do you know Krishna? By just listening to him. Just listen to what he says. He tells who he is and what he does and what he thinks and what he wants. That's the simple way to find out. And it's all in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you just take the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says, then you become the most learned person and the most skillful person and the most and a person adequate to help others. And so this is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that all his servants followed. He instructed everyone that you should learn the science of Krishna consciousness, learn the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then go teach others. Yadir deka tara kara para upadesh amaragnai guru hanatara idesh. He said, this is my order. My order is to learn all these things and then yourself become a teacher. Go out and teach others. Now, as I said earlier, the order of Krishna is not different from Krishna, and it is the internal energy. And the way to see Krishna, the way to see the spiritual world, the way to go to the spiritual world, is just to take the order. If you take the order, then you're connected with Krishna. There's nothing can separate you also. It's your choice to take the order or not take the order. And if you do take it, and you mold your life around that principle, then you'll never be separated from Krishna. And you'll attain all perfection. You'll see Krishna directly by following his order. And his order is given in the Bhagavad Gita. It's given through the spiritual master, where we can get very specific clarification of what his order is. You see, Srila Prabhupada came to meet his spiritual master when he was just, 26 years old? And he came with a group of friends who dragged him to come see his guru. Why? Because Prabhupada lived in the home with his father, who was a pure devotee in his own right. His father had a singular desire for his son, that he become a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. So, he invited every single sadhu, and sadhu sometimes means that there's some unusual kinds of sadhus, let's say, in India. Those from India know. If you go around India and you meet all kinds of sadhus, you'll find sadhu really means holy man. But there are all kinds of different ideas about what that is. Prabhupada's father used to keep a hookah in the house because to get some of the sadhus to come in, he'd have to give them ganja. You come in, you smoke some ganja, and then, you know, please give a blessing to my son. So he would invite everyone. So Prabhupada growing up, he saw many, many different kinds of sadhus, and he wasn't that impressed. And so when they said, his friend said, there's another sadhu, you can come and meet him, he thought, not another one. I've seen them all. And they dragged him. And when he came there, before he offered his obeisances before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who became his spiritual master, and as he was sitting back up again, before he could even take his seat, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was giving him an order. That is, you should preach Krishna consciousness to the Western people. You should expand it in English. You're intelligent, you're educated, you speak English, you can do this. Before he was able to even sit back up again, he had the order. And that became his life and soul. You could scour Prabhupada's books and find out that that's how he did it. He grabbed onto that, and that is the internal energy. That's how he connected. That's how he had his success. He says it himself. Why was he successful? He took the order. He just tried to fulfill it. That's what he did. And can anyone do that? Yes. Can anyone find that order? Yes. It's up to you. The order is available. You can take it. And if you have a desire and you take that order and you grab that order, then you're immediately connected with the internal energy. No difference between Krishna and the order. Absolutely the same. And more Krishna will reveal himself through the principle Atashi Krishna Madi Na Bhaved Graim Indriye Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayamivas Puratyada. That we don't see Krishna by our own power, the blunt material senses cannot perceive him. But if we take the order of Krishna and we execute it in a humble mood, in a mood like Lord Brahma, the beginning person of our sampradaya did, with full humility, and we try to take every pain possible to take that order on our head, even though it may seem impossible. Krishna says, "Yo." Mamidam vidyam 3:31. Yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manava. Krishna says, just take my order and you'll be fine. Next verse he says, don't take my order, you'll be ruined. So we have a choice. And if we just take it, we take that order, then we'll become successful, even if in the beginning it seems impossible. And that's what Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse 3:31, that in the beginning you may see the order, you may know what the order is, but you can't do it. But you want to do it. So you keep trying, and that's where your perfection lies. And keep trying. You try to take that order, you try to perfect that order, and if you do that, then you'll see Krishna eye to eye. He'll reveal himself to such a person who humbly takes the order. Atashi Krishna Bhavi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhi. By the tongue you can take his order. Krishna says, teach Bhagavad Gita to others. Learn it and teach it to others. And by that service of speaking about Bhagavad Gita to others in the best way that you possibly can, Krishna will reveal himself. And any other kind of seva that you can perform according to the order you get from your spiritual master that comes to you from Krishna, through his agency, then you'll become perfect. So, not to worry, because there's a great conspiracy afoot, and that is Krishna's conspiracy. He's conspiring in different ways. He sends his incarnations to the world. He has his representatives, and he's controlling the whole show. Therefore, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The moment one becomes sincere about knowing God, the grand conspiracy starts turning. And no one can figure out how perfectly it's all being done. But Krishna will connect us. That's our duty, to be sincere, to sincerely try to see Krishna, to try to follow his order. And he'll make everything else complete in a way that we could never imagine, with many conspirators in the process of helping us. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.
See if somebody has questions or comments.
Look at this beautiful bhakti center. Krishna's everywhere, and it has a nice feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like a real bhakti center.
Yes.
And it just, we're going on here in Silicon Valley in the best ways that we know how. You know, I know for a fact that the devotees who are working here in this community are taxing their brains. Prabhupada used to use this phrase, tax your brain how to spread Krishna consciousness. I know for a fact, because I see it, I get copied on practically every, because I'm acting as a temple president, I see so many letters come across and see what everyone's doing. And everyone's taxing their brain how to do better, how to expand Krishna consciousness, and sincerely trying. and Krishna's reciprocating and sending people and resources. And what more can we do but sincerely try? And then we see this bhakti center in manifestation from the sincere desire Sri Govinda Datta wanted to bring this kind of structure to Silicon Valley. I saw it several years ago when he came here. He had that desire. And gradually it's been coming into focus. And now here's the result. Everything starts from the subtle level and it comes to the gross level. If you have some subtle desire, it'll grow. It grows like a seed and then it manifests in the outward world. That's why we're so keen on watching carefully to weed out any kind of little desires that are not pure devotional service. Because we want this to manifest outwardly in our lives as pure devotional service and everything that goes with it. Are there any comments, questions, or reflections? Diksha.
The question is that why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu choose to worship Jagannath? What is so sweet about Jagannath?
Well, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, he actually saw the form of Krishna. Krishna, yayata mam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. According to one's mood and surrender, he reveals himself in a particular way. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saw Lord Jagannath, then he fainted out of ecstasy. And he would see Krishna in the form of Jagannath. Jagannath is the form of Krishna, Baladev, Subhadra in ecstasy. This is a very intimate form of the Lord who's exhibiting ecstasy. That's why their eyes are so wide open out of ecstasy. In Vraja, actually there's one pastime that describes how Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan were so much missing Krishna. He spent some years in Vrindavan and then Akrura came to take him to Mathura. He was supposed to be gone only for a few days. And of course the residents were always expecting that he'd be back in a few days. And it would be a few days from Monday, then a few days from Tuesday, and a few days from Wednesday, and a few days from Thursday, a few days from Friday, a few days from Saturday, a few days from Sunday. And this way they went on waiting for 100 years. Krishna apparently didn't come back. Of course, the acharyas have explained that he never left because he was there in his bhava expansion, his aprakut, or unmanifest expansion out of bhava. He never leaves from Vrindavan. But in his lila, apparently he leaves from Vrindavan. And out of the greatness of the Gaudiya Sampradaya coming down through Srila Madhavendra Puri, that the devotees, through their separation, they feel more intense connection with Krishna than anyone else or any way else besides this feeling of vipralamba or separation from Krishna. Out of that intense separation they feel for Krishna, they're constantly in touch with him. Paradox. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, the residents there were pining for him 24 hours a day. As Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to say in his lectures, they were simply crying, 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 crying out of separation for Krishna. And so one pastime described that when Krishna and Balaram one day came to came across an assembly of devotees who were speaking about their separation from him, they went into such ecstasy that they took these forms of Krishna and Balaram with their eyes wide open. And, you know, it's a form of ecstasy. And Kurukshetra, where Krishna appeared, and for which we performed the Ratha Yatra ceremony, which is representative of this meeting of the devotees with Krishna at Kurukshetra. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is the pinnacle of bhakti in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, actually. not even Vrindavan, but Kurukshetra of all places. This is a very esoteric point, but because in Kurukshetra the residents of Vrindavan had come there to see Krishna, because it was an eclipse of the sun and everyone had come to this place, Kurukshetra, for this festival to counteract the effects of the eclipse of the sun and so on. It was a religious festival. And Krishna was going there, but not the Krishna the residents of Vrindavan knew. They knew him as Madan Gopal. And when they came there, they saw Krishna riding on a chariot with in a kingly way. And there the residents of Vrindavan were pining for Krishna again, saying, come back to Vrindavan. We want you to come to Vrindavan and there be with you. We don't want to see you here as a king riding on this chariot. And they were feeling this great separation for the Lord. And the devotees remember all these pastimes. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, represent this very intimate mood of worshiping Krishna and remembering him as their friend, their lover, and so on. Yes?
Is there any more questions? Like, we can take one more question. Move to next.
I have a question regarding recently I read in a Prabhupada book.
Recently you read in a Prabhupada book?
That, let's say, a person goes to a sweet shop.
A person goes to a sweet shop.
And then he tries to buy a gulab jamun. And
tries to buy a gulab jamun.
Like, the gulab jamun has to be sent to the mouth and then that's what
the gulab jamun has to be sent to the mouth and then to the stomach.
And then that's what digested. And then,
it will be digested and then?
The hand gets the nourishment.
And then the hand gets the nourishment.
So, my question is, what happens if, can you tell, the more regarding how this, why, currently what we are trying to do is, we are trying to squash the gulab jamun through hand.
Currently what we're trying to do is squash the gulab jamun and eat it in our hand.
So, what's the wrong in that,
What's wrong in that?
Yeah, more insight on that. Yeah.
It's a fast day. I don't know if I should talk about it.
Fast breaking time is over.
Fast breaking time is over. We can talk about Glubjman. Well, I mean, the obvious thing is that you can't eat a gulab jamun with your hand.
Yeah.
And the example, you can't eat a gulab jamun with your hand. I'm misdirecting my sentiments in this world, and my attention is going to something that is called anartha. It doesn't actually give me true value. I have anarthas, or unwanted desires, unwanted values in my life. And those really aren't in my self-interest. They really don't help me. And when I get rectified, clarified, my consciousness becomes clarified by understanding what my true interest is, then my nature is that I'll take it. So this example of trying to eat a gulab jamun with one's hand, it represents this misdirected life. A life which, in which I consider that I'm the body. I think that I'm the body and everything related to my body is mine. And then I invest myself in that conception of life. And the result is that I live an unsatisfied, a life which is tenuous. At any time, my relationship with this body can be terminated. And therefore, my relationship with all the things that are in relationship with the body can be terminated. And therefore, I'm full of fear. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibheshita syat. Because I'm relating myself with the body, consciousness is powerful. It projects itself into matter even. I project myself into matter. And what is things around me change in their characteristic, they become mine. That's a powerful word, mine. And because they're mine, I have attachment to them, then they become a problem for me. There's some kind of difficulty. I was just thinking, oh yeah, my next door neighbor, they just moved in. Indian couple. And they moved in, and yesterday I was walking out and I saw that there were police cars outside their house, and a cop called me over and said, did you see anything? I said, what do you mean, did I see anything? Oh, his laptop was in the car, got stolen. He left the car open. And then I was thinking about later, you know, there are laptops all over the Silicon Valley, and they're not of a concern to me, but if it's my laptop, then it's a concern, because it's mine. And this body also, I project myself into the body and it becomes mine, and therefore it's a difficulty for me. But Krishna is actually mine. When one begins to advance in devotional service, there's this feeling of mamata. What is mine, Krishna? That's the mood of the devotees in Vrindavan. Krishna is mine. Then you have no problem, because then you're directing your energy properly. So we have to clarify through Shastra, through hearing, that I'm not my body. And the things in relationship with my body aren't mine either. I'm simply renting this space. And it will be taken away from me. And when I understand atmatattva, the truth of the self, and I invest myself in those values that are related to the self, which means turning my attention towards Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj says this, gives an example. When you decorate your face, then the reflection in the mirror is also decorated. So he says that when you serve Krishna, then you'll also feel decorated. For instance, if you serve Lord Jagannath, you bring him a flower, then you'll feel that satisfaction that you gave it to him. It's tangible, it's palpable, that when you serve Krishna, you actually feel satisfied. Bhakti parishanu bhava virakti ranyata traisha trika eka kala prapadya manasya tasanta sus tusti pusti shudapayonu gasam pretty much encapsulates this idea that when you eat food, you get nourishment, satisfaction, and your hunger goes away, and nobody has to give you a certificate. So similarly, when you direct your energy back towards Krishna and serving Krishna, prapadya manasya, in a mood of surrender, then you get bhakti. Naturally, that feeling of love and happiness comes into your heart that Krishna's mine. We're connected. Parishanubhava. Anubhava means you see it for yourself directly. You don't have to have any outside observer come in and say, now. And virakti anyatracha means you become detached from all other kinds of things. Just like when you eat food and you're satisfied and someone says, do you want more? You say, no thanks. I'm full. I don't need any more. So we can know for ourselves through the process of taking bhakti the way it's given to us and become rectified from trying to eat gulab jamun with our hand. I don't know if he's stopping.
Okay. No, I just, when this example was mentioned, I was reminded about this analogy of watering the root of the tree, that when one is doing that, the nourishment gets to all parts of the tree, including the branches, the twigs, and all. In the same way that as one puts food in the stomach, the nourishment even goes to the hand. But if the hand thinks that it can be independent, so it's crushing gulab jamun, it thinks it can be independent and self-serve itself or self-feed itself, it won't be so successful as placing it in the stomach. Just like a spark that comes out from fire has its shining or has luminosity as long as it's in this, towards the center of the fire. But once it drifts away, loses that light because the light is coming from the center. So I was reminded about that, watering the root of the tree, that all you need to do is water the root and all components, all parts of the tree are automatically taken care of.
Nice point.
Actually, we can conclude here, Guruji, because many devotees are fasting today. This is Advaitacharya appearance.
Yes.
And we'll be having the ceremony for Jagannath, Aarti offering. For that, I just wanted to express my deep gratitude to His Holiness Vaishagya Prabhu, His Grace Tirukula Mataji, all the ISV devotees for coming to Bhakti Center and by their auspicious presence, like blessing us with their prayers and blessings. Thank you very much. And actually, I want to tell a little bit about my interactions with the Kripai. Thank you, Guruji. Like, I remember in 2008 when we had an idea about starting some college programs, I had the fortune of sharing the flight with His Grace Shikaku going together, and Bhajit was also together. So on the way, we stayed at Chicago also, and we were discussing like we can have some youth program in colleges, and Vaishabhu gave us, like, go ahead with this and start the programs. And we started going to San Jose State University, and we recruited a group of devotees there. That is where the couple of, like, four or five devotees started staying in the San Jose. And after some time, we had a fortune of bringing Vaishabhu there also, and we had some programs. And then slowly, when Gaurang Kishabhu shifted to Texas, Alachua, then we also started doing some program in Stanford University. That was the beginning, and then as a visitor, sannyasi, then important guest comes, we organize a big one-time programs, and regularly cooking class and weekly class are also going in the Stanford University. I just want to express my deep gratitude to His Grace Vaishagya Prabhu for allowing me to take up this service. Although we can put a lot of efforts ourselves, but unless the blessings and mercies there, real result doesn't come about. Blessings to the great acharyas and coming down and in the line of disciplination that we can actually do some service that is pleasing to Krishna. So I feel myself very well connected to Srila Prabhupada and the whole acharyas just by being in your presence. And my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, has come here a couple of times, and he's personally told me that His Grace Vaishabhu, who is the most Krishna conscious leader you can ever get.
Hare Bol!
Just serve under His lotus feet and take His instruction as my instruction, and you reach the goal. So my heart desire is that I can somehow or other by services I can please Guru Vaishnava Guru, and I feel I'm not separate from my spiritual master. I see that Vaishnava Guru is not different from my spiritual master, and I can feel that connection. It's like a powerhouse connecting to get some energy to be connected to a powerhouse. So Vaishnava Guru, because he's so much connected to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, Panchatattvas, we can directly feel the blessings. One time in the program, Maharaj was telling that all the living entities on this planet Earth is looking forward for resurrection of Vaishnava Prabhu. But Vaishnava Prabhu actually dedicated himself to this small temple, ILC. So we are very, very fortunate that we have the blessing to be under the auspicious presence of Vaishnava Prabhu. So we want to express our gratitude. Thank you very much for encouraging us, inspiring us, protecting us in our Krishna consciousness and engaging us into serving Srila Prabhupada. Please continue to do that. We are dependent on your mercy. Please keep us under your shelter of the Lord. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
SevenGoswami.com.
So actually, our team members has Bharat Prabhu has been working from Saturday morning and is preparing 56 Chappan Bhog for Lord Jagannath. So, it seems like offering is ready. So they're going to put the some people here, and Chappan Bhog offering will be offered to the